KSL at night.
Welcome back to KSL at Night. Alongside Rusty Cannon, I'm your host this evening, Greg Scorza. We are joined again for the second segment by J.R. Byrd, Roosevelt Mayor. And I want to just ask you this question. How does... Well, first of all, you mentioned your wife in the first segment. I want you to tell us briefly about your family, but then I also want you to say, to tell us how a rural mayor can get the word out to people, because you have a lot to say and you were incredibly impressive during the first segment, but you got to come to Salt Lake County. You got to go to, some of the eastern counties of the state, maybe Grand County. I don't remember which other ones were in your district, but you went to Duchesne. How do you get that word out? But tell us about your family first.
Yeah, sure. So Brindy Byrd is my wife, been married to her for 23 years. We have four wonderful children. The youngest is a sophomore in high school. He'll be graduated in a couple of years. And this is why I said I was thinking...
You don't look old enough to have four kids that are the youngest. Well,
she's actually in Las Vegas right now with our second oldest daughter, who is going to give birth, hopefully within a week or so. Our first grandchild is
good
on the way.
Good for you. Good for you.
But. Well, so in addition to your family getting involved in things, obviously you need to start weighing in on issues. And there's a lot of issues that are hot topics right now, I'm sure, as you're talking with delegates at this point. The first one you'd mentioned in the first segment, issues out in the basin with we're all affected by immigration, right?
Yes.
And what's going on with the southern border. We could have an hour-long conversation about that. But what are your thoughts on the immigration issue?
The biggest frustration I see with immigration right now is the fact that we already have the laws in place to stop the illegal migration or immigration coming into our country. It's the simple fact is Biden is not enforcing the policies and the laws that are already in place. And so this is one of the we've deviated from the Constitution and we've really weaponized the executive branch to create policies and things like that, where the laws that are in place really would protect that. And they've used a provision in the law called parole to parole hundreds of thousands of people into our country, which is completely wrong. And the parole clause has only been utilized 8 to 10 times a year prior to the Biden administration. And it's on a case-by-case basis. But the fact that they're doing that is wrong. We need to hold them accountable. If you look at the Homeland Security report, and there is an impeachment happening with Mayorkas right now, it's already made it through the House. It's at the Senate, I believe, still. And that's why they're impeaching him, is because there's been two court orders. They've already identified where he's in breach of the law, and nothing's really happening. And that's one of the biggest frustrations that I see. But the lack of the executive branch's willingness to secure the border is really affecting all of us, and it's made all of us border states. And my heart goes out to Governor Abbott in Texas. I mean, they're really facing the brunt of this, but it's something that we have to rein in, and Congress has to regain control of that.
By doing what? I mean, how does Congress get control of that again? We have a White House that's not doing what most Americans think he should be doing with the border. What can you do in Congress?
This is what's really, really difficult. And the courts have gotten involved a little bit, but this is what's difficult. And I've read this to a degree, and there's not a lot that you can do except for impeachment. And I know nobody wants to hear the word impeachment. They're tired of this word being thrown around, but it's really difficult to enforce the executive branch or make the executive branch and hold their feet to the fire to actually execute these things. And so that is the difficulty right now. They're going after Mayorkas. How we get the president to do this, public pressure. We need people to understand really what's at stake here and to know that the laws are there. It's just simply that the president has refused to execute.
So one other hot topic that comes up is spending, right? The budget. Yeah. Your thoughts on that big ball of wax, because there's a lot of fighting going on over that.
It seems like we have a near shutdown every 6 weeks.
Oh, this one really rubs me wrong, because I'm all about process, and the border is definitely something that is a big issue, but this budget issue is the most difficult one to solve. It is a ball of wax. But really what you look at, if we would just start by following the budgetary process that's in place, that would help tremendously. One of the things that I would like to push, a piece of legislation, would be to tie Congress's hands, meaning they don't get to work on anything else unrelated to the budget until the budget's passed. Can you imagine? And the thing of it is by legislating and doing these things, they're indirectly affecting the budget anyway. So just stop all that, Focus on the budget. This is your number one most important responsibility. When you get that out of the way, then you can start legislating other things.
Yeah, it's interesting. The appropriations process, it seems so broken. It's supposed to work orderly, the different pieces chopped up. They go through it and do it throughout the year, and then it's all buttoned up by September. So
should be.
Essentially, we've been on a CR, a continuing resolution, forever at this point, it seems like. But in addition to the budget, that made me think of one other question. Have you thought about committees that you would want to be on, right? We have Congressman Moore's on Ways and Means, a very powerful committee. But have you thought about the committees that you'd like to serve on?
I have. And there's three that I've identified that I would really like to serve on. First of all, energy and natural resources. That's one that fits directly with the things that we face in CD3. So I think that would be an important committee to serve on.
And that you face in your own jurisdiction.
Exactly. And it's really my wheelhouse.
Right.
These are things that I know and understand very, very well. But the other thing, because I am all about process and transparency and accountability, the Oversight Committee is one that I would really like to serve on, because that's how we get, the corruption rooted out of government. That's how we identify the problems and really start to fix internally these things that are causing a lot of the problems in our nation. So that's another one. Small business is one, because being a small business owner, I see that they're the ones that get, they have the biggest weight to carry, and with regulations and taxes and everything else. And they're the number one job creator for America. We should be making policy to help them, incentivize them, and we're almost doing just the opposite. And I've seen that personally in my own life. And so those are three that definitely.
So let's pivot a little bit, since you talked about the budget. It seems like Congress's interest in supporting some wars overseas, and I'm talking about Ukraine, I'm talking about Gaza, I'm talking about what level of support the United States should have when we're talking about, at least in Ukraine, and we had a guest last night on this show, the Ukraine ambassador to the United States, who really talked about the importance of that. Of course, she's selling that. Of course she is. Mm-hmm. But what role do you want the U.S. to play in conflicts like that?
Well, I think there is an interest for the U.S. to be there. Obviously, we want to make sure that Russia doesn't invade or take over Ukraine. I know, a lot of people are concerned that China is going to take over Taiwan next, and they're just looking to see how this conflict works out. But there's definitely a national security interest for the United States and Ukraine. However, we have to have a clear objective, in my mind, to win that war if we're going to be there. And two, we can't send unfettered funds there. As a businessman, when you have a goal or an objective, you incrementally move towards that. And if you see the needle moving with what you're doing, then you continue. And if not, you've got to pull back. One of my biggest frustrations with this conflict, though, and if it is our objective is to win the war with Russia, then why did we have a president put a freeze on LNG exports to Europe? So if we don't supply Europe with their gas and our allies, then they've got to purchase it from Russia. So indirectly, we're enriching Russia, all the while we're sending funding to Ukraine. So we're not fighting a coordinated battle there. And this is one of the biggest frustrations that I see. Plus, the president doing that is outside of his bounds, in my opinion, because in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, it says, Congress is to regulate commerce between nations and states. And so it's almost hypocritical to say we're going to send money to Ukraine to fight this war and then indirectly fund Russia because we're unwilling to send our gas over there. So we've got to fight it in a coordinated way, and we're currently not.
Well, JR, this has been fascinating for us, and I think for our listeners as well. We appreciate you being willing to come on KSL at night, and we wish you the best of luck. We know campaigning is very difficult on a family, on anybody, especially that delegate process right now. It's a bit of a crucible,
right?
We know, but very impressive. We appreciate you coming on. Thank you for joining us. Everybody, stick with us here on KSL at night. We will be right back after this break.